tsunami, a complete deluge. It was not just a flood. And it was at the, it was almost as if it was at the entrance of Franschhoek. It was at a narrow entrance of a valley. And I said, but it is too late. It's too late for us. We should be on the higher ground now, because now the water will overflow us. It's already here. So obviously we can make what we want of this dream, but I believe that it is the Lord warning us. And it's a follow-on from Graham's vision or a confirmation or another angle that, yes, the Holy Spirit is going to move, but it won't all just be roses. That we have to, if we are not in the Spirit, if we are not waiting for the Lord, if we are not focusing upon the things of God and not the things of the world, we are also very, very, very busy. Our lives, we have many responsibilities which take us away from the Lord. And we use them as excuses sometimes. I certainly do. And I allow other things to lead me away from God. But God has called us to a wonderful calling, each single one of us. And we need to make him our priority, because the things are not going to get easier. They're going to get very, very much harder. And we are living in relative luxury compared to the rest of the world. And I just believe that we need to heed the words of the Lord so that it will be well with our soul. Because we are intimate with the Lord, that we are keeping in step with him. We are the wise virgins who keep the lamp burning.
Thanks, Joe. I just want us all to stand and just respond to the word that came through Graham and Joe. So if you can stand with me. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that as Joe was speaking, Father, I just felt that the Holy Spirit is the one that points us to Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that as a church we come this morning and we choose to fall on the rock, Lord God. We choose to fall on the rock that's Jesus Christ. And we just declare Jesus Christ over every area of our lives. We declare Jesus Christ over our families. We declare Jesus over our health. We declare Jesus over our relationships with our husbands and our wives. We declare Jesus over our children. We declare Jesus over this church. And I just pray, Father, that we will lift up Jesus over our house, Father, in every area of our life, Father. May you be glorified, Jesus. May you be glorified. Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Thank you, band. What, donkey? Thank you so much, Joe and Graham, for sharing. I think I don't even have to preach. I mean, they just did it all. And the other thing is, I didn't know Moja could play bass. I mean, that's what a youth pastor should look like. Don't you think? I'm on a bass player. I just wanna pray for us before we start. Thank you, Father, that just that we know, Father, that we are here because of you. And Father, we lift you up this morning, Jesus, over the service, Father. And we thank you, Father, that this sermon will be a continuation of worship unto you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you come and inhabit our praises. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you be the guest of honor this morning. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the one that guides us into all truth, and you're the one that points us to Jesus. And I pray this morning that you will fix our eyes on Jesus, that we will see and learn to be more intimate with him, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm Jolene, for those of you that don't know me. My husband is Richard. And we moved here about 2.5 months ago. So, before we start with the message, I just want to really thank the church for the way that you guys have accepted us and welcomed us into your hearts and your homes. It's been a privilege, and it's been a joy. And you've been gracious to Richard, which means I'm happy. If my husband's happy, then I'm happy. You've really accepted him as your pastor, and you've honored him, and I want to thank you for that. It's not all churches that welcome a newcomer the way that you have, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for that. So this morning, I have a word that I feel before we came to Franschhoek, I prayed and I asked God, so God, what do we do? What do you want us to focus on? There's so many things to focus on. What do we do? How do we do this thing? How do we lead the people? And I felt God saying two things. The first one was to love the people. And I think we've spoken about this. We had a whole convergence on love. And for Richard and I, maybe I should just speak for me. He's not here right now. For me, it's not something that comes very natural to love people. It's terrible. Liesel, how many corpse lawn. It's if I had a choice on a Friday night or pretty much any other night, I just spent it with Richard and my kids. I'm not a very social person, and I don't go up easily to people and just start talking. But before we came, I really trusted God, and I asked God to kind of increase my capacity to love people and to embrace them. And I realized, I told Richard, we can't fake it. They're going to know. So if God is not going to do it, it's not going to happen. And I can promise you that God has increased our capacity. God has increased my capacity. We've decided to go the route of eating together. That seems to always work to build relationships. And if we haven't had people over in our house for 3 or 4 nights, then I'm the one to tell Richard, we've got to invite more people over. So and that is God. That's not Jolene. Jolene is not like that. So I just want to... thank God for that. So that's the first point. And then the second thing I felt God saying before we came, and that's the one I feel God wants us to speak about this morning, is I felt God saying that Richard and I should create a space for God to meet with these people. I felt God saying he wants to meet with these people, and us as leaders should create a space and give him it's kind of like a self-facilitator. You're just facilitating the meeting. And that's what I felt I want us to focus on this morning. And the topic of the sermon, if we've got it there, is walking in the Spirit. I want to start off with 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5. There we go. Okay. So Paul is writing here to the church of Corinth, and he's saying, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. I think that's me this morning. If you close here, the first two rows, don't tell them I'm trembling. But that's why I'm holding it with two hands, because I'm great fear and trembling. My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And the longer I'm here, the more I realize this is exactly how I feel. The more I speak to some of you that come over for tea, or the more I speak after service and I hear what you guys are going through and what some of us are facing, I realize Richard and I can do nothing. We can't do anything. We can't help you. We can't save you. We can't set you free. We can do nothing. Only God and his power can. That's the only one that can heal us. He's the only one that can save us, is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is there to help us. So for me, it's kind of like this morning I want to say the last verse, so that your faith might not rest on you, Richard or Jolene's wisdom, but on God's power. And when we came here, when we sorted out the rosters, Tiens and Richard thought I must preach, and I said, no, thank you. Don't put me on the roster. I said, I felt it's a good thing as a pastor's wife to say, when I feel something, I will let you know. So that's what I said. The actual reason is just because I'm so scared. But then about 6 weeks ago, I felt God laying this sermon of this morning on my heart. And I told Richard again, And Lavi, I think God wants me to speak on something. He wants us to, he's got a word that I think is for the Church of Franschhoek specifically. So he said, all right, you tell me when you're ready. So I said, I'll work it out and then I'll tell you when I'm ready. So here we go again. So 3 weeks went by and who of you knew I didn't do anything? I did nothing because there was no fixed deadline. There was no accountability. So about after 3 weeks, I told him, you know what, give me a date. That this is going to work better. So he gave me 15 October. And then I started working and I really started praying into what God wants us to do. So sometimes this is kind of on the side, but I just felt it's for some of us. If God tells you to do something, tell somebody else. Become accountable for it. Because very often, if it's just you and between you and God, the accountability is a bit of a pressing if you've got a deadline or if you are accountable to somebody. I walk past a bookstore in Stellenbosch every day at work, and they have a quote every week on the outside. And this week it was on a deadline, and they said, the quote goes, I just love a deadline. I love the sound it makes as it swish past. And, and I thought, yeah, that's pretty much how most of us are. So, yeah, just kind of on the side. So when I started praying about this, about God, how do you want us to create a space for your people to meet with you, for us to meet with you and for the people to really connect and become intimate with you, God led me to Revelation 3 verse 4. And it says there, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. And the focus is not so much on Sardis, on the church of Sardis. This is now John writing a letter on behalf of Jesus to the church of Sardis. When I read this verse, what jumped out of the page was that they will walk with me. And in that evening when I read it, I felt God saying, I want to walk with the Church of Franschhoek. I want Church of Franschhoek to be a church that walks with me. And that is where I felt God wants us to enter in and go deeper, to really walk with him. I think one of the greatest privileges for a follower of Jesus is to be able to walk with him. For God to say that such and such a person walked with me. And if we look at the Old Testament, there are two people specifically that I want us to look at that had the privilege of walking with God. And the first one was Enoch. Genesis 5, verse 22 to 24 says, after he became a father, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. That's amazing, to walk with God for over 300 years. And I mean, in the church here with us, there are people here, I'm trying to eyeball as many as possible of you, that have walked with God for 70, almost 80 years. And I just want to honor you. For us youngsters, the younger generation, what do they call us? Maybe I'm still a millennium. I'm 35. I don't know where I fit in. But that is encouraging. That's inspiring to look and to see how you have walked with God for so many years. And Hebrews 11 verse 5 gives us a clue as to why Enoch could walk with God. It says there, by faith Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And I felt that's a key. If we're going to walk with God, then we need to please him. That's when we can walk with him. Another person, that a man that walked with God in the Old Testament, is Noah. So Genesis 6 verse 9 says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his people of the time, and he walked faithfully with God. And I thought about Noah while I was preparing, and I thought, imagine the pressure. I mean, God had wiped out all of mankind, and he said, Noah, I'm going to start with you, and we're going to rebuild this generation. And I thought, jeepers, the pressure. I mean, I'm so happy it wasn't dependent on me and Richard, you know, for the whole of the earth to be populated again through us. But you just realize how much God would have had to trust Noah. He had complete trust in him because he knew him intimately. And out of that intimacy and that relationship, God could trust Noah to rebuild mankind. Sorry, guys. Okay, so this is the tough part of the sermon. If we go back, what I felt was, in order for us to be a church that walk in the Spirit and walk with God, we have to go back to Revelation 3 verse 4 and ask God, so God, if we're going to be a church that walk in the Spirit and walk with you, what are the key to walking in the Spirit and walking with you? And if we go back to Revelation 3 verse 4, I felt that God was one of the things that he wants us to focus on this morning is the issue of holiness. And Revelation 3 verse 4 says again, they have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. And that speaks about holiness and purity. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Madagascar. Are there any parents in the house that have seen it? It's this animation. Have you guys seen it? Now, this is the first Madagascar where the animals from the zoo in New York, where they've now escaped, and they're now on their way to Madagascar, to the wild. And my favorite character in this movie is this King Julian figure. I don't quite know what he is, but he's this little animal that thinks he's much larger than life. I mean, he wears a crown that's twice as tall as him. And there's this one scene in the movie where all these little animals, King Julian and his tribe, is sitting in a plane that got stuck in a tree. And they're having a meeting around whether they should let the New York animals into their tribe, I suppose. And in this thing, while they're having the meeting, or actually I must backtrack a little bit, their biggest fear of these little animals is, they call it the fusas. Now, a fusa is something like a hyena, eh, Moja? Is it a hyena? It's something like a hyena little thing. But when it comes, these little animals go completely ballistic. They lose it. They are scared to death of the fusas. Now, in this scene in the movie, they have a meeting around whether to bring the animals in and become the part of the tribe. And somebody, just by the way, in the conversation, said the word fusas. I mean, these little animals go ballistic. They start jumping. They start screaming. They lose it. The whole meeting breaks into chaos. Nobody can hear anything. And then eventually one of them goes ding, ding, ding on the little clocky and says, they're not attacking us this very minute. You can calm down. Somebody just mentioned the word fusas. So I think for me, when in our generation, sometimes what happens is when somebody says, we're going to speak about holiness, we have a bit of a fusa reaction. We go, I don't talk about that. We are not under the law anymore. We are under grace. We're not talking about holiness. And I want us this morning just to hear me out. Just a little while. I'm not going to speak the whole time about holiness, but I do feel that it's something that God wants to highlight this morning. For me, when I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church. And the ritual, we also have rituals in our church, which is not wrong. But what happened every Sunday was we sang a psalm and a gesang. And then every Sunday, the dominee would read the Ten Commandments from the top to the bottom. So I was very much aware that as a Christian, there were rules to live by. And you weren't allowed to do certain things, and you had to do certain other things. So the holiness, in my mind, equaled sin conscious. So I understood God was holy, and in order for us to be like God and walk with God, we had to stick to certain rules. But that's where it ended for me. That's all I understood about holiness. And only later, when God opened my eyes, that holiness does not just equal sin consciousness. Holiness is a key to walking and having an intimate relationship with Jesus. And only once I realized that, did I come and I embraced the concept of holiness. And I want us this morning to try and understand and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation of why holiness is important. It's not being sin conscious. It's a key to having an intimate relationship with Jesus and to walking in the Spirit. I can also try and explain it maybe in another way with somebody that's married. So Richard and I have been married at the end of the year for 10 years. Now, the reason why I don't commit adultery, yes, it is because the Bible says do not commit adultery, and I promised it 10 years ago. But another reason why I don't do it, because if I do commit adultery, I'm risking my intimacy with him. My relationship with him is going to go down the tube. There will be no intimacy left if I commit adultery. And in the same way, if we commit adultery in our relationship with God, our intimacy goes down. Another thing that happens, and that is just kind of an outflow of what I explained now, is that if we sin and we live in sin, it takes our eyes off Jesus. So Genesis 3 verse 8 is about when Adam and Eve had just eaten the forbidden fruit. It says there, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" That's what happens when we sin and when we live in sin. It pulls us away from God. It doesn't draw us closer. Satan wants us to take our eyes off Jesus. He wants us to look away from Jesus. And after Jesus went up to heaven, we living in the New Testament or the New Testament church, I suppose a person can say that, we've got the privilege of receiving or having received the gift of the Spirit. So we don't just walk with God. We've got the privilege of walking in the Spirit if we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We can't be a church that walk in the Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit at the same time. So I want us to go to Isaiah 63, verse 10. It says there, "Yet they rebelled," or you can call it sinned, or put idols in their lives, "and grieved the Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them." We can't be a church that walk in the Spirit if we don't embrace holiness as a key to walking with Jesus, not a sin-conscious thing, as a key to walking with Jesus. Grace is there, and grace is given to us to be able to overcome sin and to be able to walk in holiness. Grace is kind of an empowerment. So grace is not an excuse to sin. It's an empowerment for us to be able to walk in holiness so that we can have an intimate relationship with God. I just felt, before we step off the topic of holiness, I felt that some of us, we sometimes get stuck, or I do. So we now sin, which we've all done, and we're still going to all do. But then we get stuck. So we go to God, and we say, "God, I'm really sorry. I ask for forgiveness. I repent. But then I can't seem to leave it at the cross. I feel guilty." So I feel that Satan, if he can't keep you committing your sin, he's going to keep you focusing on it by letting you feel guilty and not allowing you. Because the moment you take your eyes off that, you'll focus on Jesus again. And I want to, we're going to have time at the end of the session to pray. But I want you to, if you have committed sin, not is, when, we all do, and we're all still going to do, commit it to God, ask for forgiveness, repent. Repent meaning you turn 180 degrees, you walk in the other direction, and you leave it at the cross. So I want you to trust God in his word that he says, if you are faithful to confess your sin, God is able to remove it as far as the east is from the west. So even if you do go tomorrow morning and say, "God, I still feel so guilty, I'm so sorry," he's going to say, "What are you talking about? He's completely forgotten about it. He doesn't even know what you're talking about, because he's removed it as far as the east is from the west." And I want to encourage you, we all sin. We're all going to sin. Confess, ask for forgiveness, and then move on. Move on to walking in the Spirit and focusing on Jesus. Don't get stuck. While I was praying also, I felt that some of us might still struggle with unforgiveness in our lives. And in some cases, it might have actually turned into bitterness, if we're honest. And we're going to have time at the end for response. But if there's a little bit of unforgiveness in your heart, maybe it's towards even yourself. You can't forgive yourself for something that happened or you did a couple of years ago or whenever. Or if there's unforgiveness about towards God, maybe you felt God let you down. Or unforgiveness towards somebody else. That is a sin, and that's something that will keep you from walking in the Spirit fully. And then the second thing I felt was that there's some of us that our identity is not in Jesus. Our identity is found in other things and sometimes even other people or a relationship. Maybe my relationship with Richard defines who I am. I'm a pastor's wife, and that's not the truth. I'm Jolene. I'm a daughter of God first and foremost. That's who I am. So if that's you, we're gonna have time at the end, and then we're going to pray through those things. The second thing I felt God saying, if we're going to be a church that walk in the Spirit, the first key is holiness. And the second thing I felt he wants us to speak about this morning is coming with an expectation. And I want to first read Luke 8. Before we start talking, this is the account or the story about the lady with the flow of blood for 12 years that came up behind Jesus. And it says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him, touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, somebody touched me. I know that power has gone out of me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. This lady came up behind him. She didn't even go on an altar call or anything like that. She came up behind him, but she had an expectation. She had an expectation to be delivered from her situation. She had an expectation to meet with Jesus. And as she came with her expectation, power came forth. What did it say? What does it say? Power has gone out of Jesus. The power in our day and age is the Holy Spirit. So if we have an expectation to meet with him, God is faithful to meet us there, to meet us at our expectation, but we must come with an expectation. So I think in a sense I want to ask you, why do you come to church? Why do we go to small group? Do we go for the fellowship, which is amazing in this church? Or do we come because there's free kind of babysitting for an hour and a half? Or why do we come? Do we come with an expectation to meet with God? Do we come with an expectation to be used by God? Do you understand? When was the last time you went up to somebody and saying, Liesl, I have a word of knowledge for you. I felt God saying this. This is what I want you to hear today. When was the last time we went with that attitude to small group? Mark 10, verse 46, this is another account of the blind man that Jesus healed, or one of them. It says there, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. On Thursday night, Richard and I went to a 40th party in Durbanville, and I wear contact lenses. One of my contact lenses was scratching, but now I didn't have the contact lens water there to take it out or whatever. So I told him, I'm just going to sit with my eyes closed because it feels slightly better if I close my eyes. And I was sitting for halfway there with my eyes closed. I'm just in the car. Richard's driving this. I don't have to do anything. But I just felt how uncomfortable it is when you can't see. I felt completely uncomfortable, even though I didn't have to do anything. And the next morning when I read this verse again about this blind man, I realized this is quite amazing. He couldn't see a thing, yet when he heard Jesus was close by, he was shouting. But the thing that stuck with me is this verse 50 where it says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. And I thought, would I do that when I'm blind? I wouldn't have that expectation. What I would do is I would say, okay, I'm coming. Can one of the disciples please take my hand and just lead me because I don't want to fall. But this man, his expectation was, Jesus is calling me. I'm throwing everything aside. I'm going, whether I can see it or not. I'm going. And I think that should be our expectation when we come to church or even when we go to work tomorrow, when we have quiet time. Do we have an expectation of, Jesus, I am going to come. I'm going to meet with you. I want to hear what you want to say to me today. I want to be used by you. Is that our expectation? Is that our hunger? I had the privilege of going on missions 5 times in my life. And that one I picked just because I thought you might miss Pastor Tiens. So in the right corner, you'll see him there with his hand. That was 2005. I had the privilege of going to Malawi, and Tiens and I co-led the team back many years ago. My son was like, Mom, is that really you? So that is me. And every time we went on missions, God was there. Every single time we went, the Holy Spirit was there. Every time he spoke to me, every time he used me, I saw miracles. I saw people prophesy. I saw people getting healed. I saw people giving words of knowledge, people speaking in tongues that weren't even their tongue. They just started speaking in other tongues. And those people are ordinary students from Stellenbosch. We're not special. It's just because we were prayed up. We were ready. We fasted. We said, God, we're going to go for 3 weeks. Use us. We're ready. We went with an expectation. And I feel specifically this morning, we should come. We can't be a church that only walk with God the Father. We only receive his love. Or we only walk with Jesus. We only want his salvation. But the Holy Spirit, it makes us uncomfortable. We can't be a church. If God says, Shafa Franchuk, I want to walk with you. We can't say, yes, God, but we can only embrace two of the third parts of God. God is saying he wants to walk with us. That means we've got to embrace the fullness of God. We've got to embrace the Holy Spirit. We've got to walk in the Spirit. And for us to walk in the Spirit, we have to embrace the Holy Spirit in his fullness. The Holy Spirit is a person that's beside us and walking next to us. He's our helper, our paracletos. But he's also, if you have been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, he's inside of you. And he wants to use you if you're available. And I felt for us as a church, God is saying, I want you to walk in the Spirit. I want you to allow for space for the Holy Spirit to come and meet with you and use you. So if we looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 11, lists them all there. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes to each one just as He determines. Are we chasing miracles? Are we looking for signs and wonders? That's not what we're doing. We're looking to be a church that walks with God and walk in the Spirit and in the fullness of God. So I really want to urge you, I'm not saying we're chasing miracles. We're not. We're saying, God, come and walk with us. Holy Spirit, here's space for you to move and to do what you want. If you want to heal somebody, great. If you don't, you don't. We want the kingdom of God to come in this church, in Franschhoek, at our workplace tomorrow morning. And we want to say, God, we're going to do our part. We want to walk with you. We're going to live holy lives. And we're going to come with an expectation to do whatever it is you want to do. And I think that we must just remember it's not about the miracles and the signs, but it is about embracing the fullness of God in our church and in our lives. And I want to end with, while you guys are coming up, I want to end with just the same scripture we started from verse 4. It says there, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but in God's power. So I want us to stand, we're finishing a little bit earlier, with the purpose of responding. So as the band's getting ready, we can all stand. I just want to say thank you, God, that we know, Jesus, that you're the Savior of our souls. Jesus, without you, we are nothing. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and help us, that you come and empower us to walk the walk that Jesus has called us to walk. And God, this morning, we as a church come and we say, we want to be a church that walks with God, that walks in the Spirit, that embraces the fullness of God. We want you to be welcome here, Holy Spirit. We want your fullness to be welcome here. And while all eyes are closed, if you, while we were speaking about holiness, if there's something in your life that you know that God has either just spoken to you or has been speaking to you for the last while about, that it's something that you need to address because it's standing between you and walking in the Spirit and having an intimate relationship with Jesus. If there is anybody like that, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, if it's maybe turned to bitterness, if there is somebody that's maybe found their identity in something, maybe it's even something like pornography, or maybe it's somebody finding out their identity in a relationship or a person. If that's you, won't you be bold enough and just raise your hand? We would love to pray with you and just ask God to come and set you free of that thing so that you can walk in an intimate relationship with Him. If there's anybody like that, I want you to be brave. I want you to come out, those of you that have raised their hands, and come stand here on my right. We're going to pray with you, and we're going to trust God to come and to break that so that you can come with an expectation of meeting with Jesus. I pray if there's anybody else that wants to come, don't wait for the person next to you to come. Come with that expectation of, God, I'm going to lay this down because I want to meet with you. And then there's a second group of people that I've felt, just waiting while some of you are still coming. You can stand. If I can just ask some of the cell leaders, if you guys can come pray. We're going to start praying for them now. And then the second group of people that I want us to, that I felt God laying on my heart, if you haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you have not been baptized in the Spirit, then we want to give you an opportunity this morning. We cannot walk in the Spirit and walk with God if we haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not a big thing. I want to tell you a testimony. this morning I was busy preparing, and Richard was already here with the worship, and I was praying, and I've got three small kids, so inevitably there's one of them in there with me. And my middle one, Margaret, she was just sitting there, and I normally pray out loud in the spirit, and she asked me, what I'm doing. So then I'm just saying, I'm speaking in tongues. It's part of what you do when you're filled with the Spirit. But she's never asked me, she hasn't been ready. But this morning, I saw she's trying to mimic me. And in that moment, I felt God saying, are you just going to preach about it, or are you going to actually listen to me? And us as moms, you're going to do the ministry out there, but what about your house? And then I asked her, I said, Margaret, this is what mommy's doing. Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? Do you want the Holy Spirit to come and stay inside of you? She said, yes. And we prayed a simple prayer. It's not a fancy thing. She's 4.5 years old. When William was 5 years old, I prayed the same prayer with him. Both of them prayed in tongues the same time. Margaret, this morning when I told her, mommy's going to pray in tongues now. All you do is you try and mimic me. You won't be able to, but the Holy Spirit will work through you and He will give you your own tongue. She did it. And it's nothing to be scared of. It's in the Bible, and God wants us all to have it. So if you're here and you haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, then I want to ask you, come forward. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you so that you can walk in the Spirit.